you, my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from the lovely state of Texas, specifically the city of Austin. Hey, grab your Bibles and let us go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 12 says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much they as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. I'll just keep going a little bit. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostles and high priests of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He also, Moses was faithful, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Okay, so back a little bit here, specifically to verse 15, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes subject to bondage. You know, the world lives in the fear of death. The world lives on the precipice of and being scared of what will happen when this life is over. And they cling very strongly to everything that this life is while they're here. I remember some time back I was in India with a friend, and he had a book there, and it was called The Last Words of Sinners and Saints. And it was pretty interesting to me when I was reading through that, because it was a recounting of different people, a lot of them actually historical people, and the people who took care of them in their death, recording what that experience was like and what those people were like in death. And quite interesting when you read about some of these people that, you know, they had very strong public personas. But then when it came the time that they were going to cross over from this life into the next, And if they didn't know God, if they weren't in a true relationship with him, they were petrified. They were scared. They would offer the doctors, you know, whatever they had, just if they could give them 6 more months of life. And the doctors, you know, they knew their limitations. They knew that this was, you know, for these people, this was the time was coming. There's nothing they could do about it. Because the worlders, ultimately, they fear going on from here into the next, because they know that they're not right. They know that they're not ready for whatever that is. And that's why they do everything they can to hold on to being in this life and being in this world. Verse 14, though, says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Jesus, through his death, destroyed the devil. You know, just so there's no confusion, so there's no ambiguity here, Jesus destroyed the devil. Jesus destroyed him on the cross. While we exist in this world, the enemy that we face is a defeated foe. The enemy that we face was already broken, was already defeated. And when you know that, and when you understand that, you begin to deal with your enemy differently. You don't deal with your enemy as an enemy that is that's still on the same playing field, because the war is over. What you do is you exercise your rights as a victor. You now step into your place as an inheritor of truth, of light, of God's plan and purpose for you. See, when the war is done, you know, there may be some skirmishes here and there, but the war is over. And when the war is finished, now it's just making that proclamation known and moving into now what is the post-war scenario. So now the post-war scenario for you, a child of God, is you live in the inheritance that you have made available to you in Christ Jesus. That is the post-war scenario for you. So now, while we live in a world where, unless somebody steps into that relationship with Christ, unless somebody crosses over from darkness to light, they're still on that wrong side. They're still on the defeated side. They're still on that side that is doing everything it can to try to take people to hell with it now that it has been thoroughly defeated and it's over. You know, the time that would have been the anxious time for the children of God would have been, you know, while Christ was here in the earth, because, you know, if he didn't successfully fulfill his mission, you know, we would have been lost. You know, that was the battle. The key battle was there. See, right now, the key battle is already done. It's already been won. Death and hell was defeated at the cross. You know, everything that was necessary for you to live a victorious and an overcoming life was already done and completed back then. You know, the what's necessary is for you and I to move into that, is to actualize that, is to understand who we are. See, this is where the enemy works very hard to try to control your mind and your thinking. Because if he can control your mind and your thinking, then you are going to not take full advantage of what you have in Christ. So you're going to spend your life living a substandard way, never truly being what God intended you to be. Does that make sense? So you understand. For example, for a person that doesn't realize what they have access to, I've seen this before, you know, even in a practical sense, I've seen this in life, where, say, you know, there will be a young person that, you know, there'll be, you know, the family will have passed away, or something will have happened, and he'll have come from a wealthy background, and there's an inheritance that is going to come to that person. But there's other people that are around that want to steal that inheritance. So they try to get in there, and they try to control his mind, and they try to control, you know, his thinking. And in the process of trying to do that, the whole goal, the whole initiative is to steal and to try to take away that which is his, which is legally his, which legally belongs to him. Now, this is where the word is going to be key in our lives. Because when you realize what the word says about who you are, you start applying that. So right now, this day, when we read this word right here, we see clearly that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So through death, Christ Jesus destroyed the devil. So is there ever going to be a question about the fact that your enemy, the enemy of your soul, is already destroyed? Yes or no? No, there is no question about it. He is already destroyed. So you know this. You know that the enemy of your soul is destroyed. So Are you going to walk that out? Are you going to walk out the reality of the destruction of the enemy of your soul? Or are you going to keep going back and forth with him like he's somebody that is not yet defeated? Sure, you know, the enemy will try to launch attacks and he'll try to do whatever he can. But you have to be the one that entertains that. If you exercise the power that you already have in Jesus' name, if you say, in Jesus' name, get out. In Jesus' name, stop. If you say, in Jesus' name, stop, the enemy has to stop. Because, see, the enemy can't keep coming at you if you are not a willing participant in that. Because, see, here's the thing. God has given you the power in Christ Jesus to be able to defeat the enemy. Before the blood of Jesus was applied to our life and to our situations, we didn't have any power. Before the blood of Jesus was applied to what it is that our experiences in this world, we were stuck. We were slaves to the world. We were slaves to the world system. We were slaves to our lust. We had zero ability to step out, to be free. But afterwards, you have the greater power living in you. You've got the blood of Jesus applied to your life. And when you move in the power of the Holy Spirit, when you apply the blood of Jesus to your situations, the enemy can't cross that. He can't cross that threshold because he can't, because that is the barrier, that is the block, that is the higher authority than anything that he's got. So the place where we get stuck is because we put our free will in the wrong place. We put our will and our decision, we put our volition in the wrong place. So we will begin to look at something and we'll see it and we'll begin to believe the lie of the devil about a situation. And when we do that, we get stuck because now, excuse me, because now we are working against in ourselves the promises and the reality and the truth of God. See, if you work against yourself, if you work against the reality of your inheritance, now you're actually harming yourself. You're putting your own will and your volition towards creating your own destruction. I'll give you an example. When somebody goes and they speak against themselves, and people do this all the time, when they have negative confessions that come out of their mouth about who they are. When you do that, you are, in essence, you're creating a negative reality in your own life. You don't need to do that. Instead, if you speak life, if you speak truth, if you speak over your situation in a healthy way, in a way in line with the truth and the reality of God, and you let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that the result of that is that you start seeing then a godly result. You will have the reality of your confession in your life. When you speak in line with the word and the truth. All right, here, Romans 12 verse 2 says, And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the transformation of our minds is essential into, you know, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The transformation of your mind to the mind of Christ is crucial in walking out the inheritance that God has for you. So that means that when the enemy attacks your mind and tries to propaganda your mind with the lies and the deception and the inroads into who it is that you are and what it is that you're doing, that's when you have to stand up against that and let the mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That's where the word and the truth and the Spirit of God quickens you, and you say, you know what? Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, when Jesus, you know, point blank, Luke chapter 4 is a great example of you know, how the enemy tries to work, you know, to affect mind and thinking and the response that should come from us. In Luke chapter 4, you know, when it talks about in verse 1, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread, may be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him into Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Okay, so here it is in a microcosm. Now, there's so many different ways we can read this chapter with, you know, different things that we can learn from it. But one part of this here is, look at how the enemy attacks his mind. If. You know, it's always, he's putting a condition. He's always putting, if you're the Son of God, if you're this, if you're that, if you will do this. So all of his stuff is conditional. And he's seeking to impose a certain structure that you got to willfully buy into it. He's seeking to make himself be something to you. So in this situation, he's like, all right, Jesus, prove yourself to me. You know, if you're the Son of God, then you better do this. If you're the Son of God, you need to show yourself like this. If you're this, then you should do that. That's classic devil right there. And Jesus, what's his response? His response is from the Word, his response is from the truth. Because also, even here, the devil takes the Word and twists it. And says, look, if you're the Son of God, then you got to do this. Because look, here's this, buffet Christianity. We've picked and chosen a verse that we want, you know, to try to get a particular response out of you. And so here, Jesus, now you need to do this if you're this. And what did Jesus respond with? You know, no, it is, it, Jesus answered him and said, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So instead of a buffet, Jesus takes it the 7-course meal of the Word of God and says, you got to take the Word of God in its entirety. The entire truth of the Scriptures, of what it is, the revelation truth of the Word of God. Not, you can't just pick and choose a verse, you know, to try to fit your meaning and to try to fit your preconceived agenda. And the devil had a very strong preconceived agenda. His internal agenda was, he wanted to destroy Jesus. He wanted to get Jesus to bow down, to become part and parcel of the world system. He offered him the whole thing, because he knew if Jesus would just bow before him, then, you know, he just falls right within the hierarchy, one step below the devil. And, you know, that work of the enemy continues to this day. But the difference is, the devil has been defeated. At the cross, the devil was defeated. At the cross, this whole thing changed. You know, with the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus, the devil was destroyed, as we saw in Hebrews. The devil was destroyed at the cross. The devil was destroyed in when Jesus went that route. The enemy of our soul was destroyed. But he still maintains his same tactics. So And he comes up with that if all the time. You know, if you're this, then you'll do this. If you're this, then you'll do that. I mean, how many times, I think back in my own life, and how many times people have tried to get me to do certain things because they created in their own mind a preconceived agenda about who they thought I should be, who they thought I was, and then now, based on their preconceived agenda, then it's like, okay, now, if you're this, then you should do this. You know, if you're a preacher, then you should be like this. If you're in fashion, then you should be like this. If you're on television, then you should be like this. If you're running a business, then you should do it like this. If you have your own clothing line, then you should dress like this. If you see what I'm saying? It just goes down the list. If you're this, then you're that. The desire to control is so strong in people. And someday, when you realize the fact that, you know what? You are who God made you to be. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to justify it. You don't have to explain it to other people. But you do have to be true to Him. You do have to be true to His Word. And you do have to be true to the reality of who you are in Christ. And, you know, with that is an assurance that we have in our heart that and it's a reality of the walk that we have while we go through this life. And part of the indicators in that is you're going to have peace and you're going to have joy. You know, like I know people sometimes they think that they're doing the work of God and there's no peace in them at all. Zero. There's no peace in them. They're not peaceful people. They have no joy in them. They have no, there's no lightness in them. There's nothing eternal about them. They're very much bound in this world and seeing things through the eyes of this world and the way the world does everything. So, you know, hey, strong delusion comes to people too. But for the child of God, you will see that as you walk with Him, you'll have peace. And when your peace is disrupted, you know, then that's a good indicator about, okay, now you need to be a bit mindful, you know, about whatever it is that's going on around you. Because Christ leads His people beside the still waters. He restores our soul. You know, Psalm 23, Psalm 24, I get those two kind of crisscrossed every now and then because I also love that one that starts with, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." You know, and I always remember that this whole thing belongs to Him. But God leads His people beside the still waters. He restores our soul. And so in that leading, He will lead you sometimes to and through what may seem in the external difficult circumstances and situations, but internally you'll have peace. And that's an amazing thing to be in that situation. I've been in that situation a number of times now in my life where God has sent me in and through some difficult life situations and I've had incredible peace within when I've been there. And other people that were there just on their own accord or their own volition or their own ideas and they've had no peace. They've been really struggling with the exact same situation. So that is part of the work of God. That is part of the way that God works with and through His people. The peace of God. Jesus said, "My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. I don't give like the world gives." When Jesus gives you His peace, that peace is going to help govern your thoughts. It's going to help govern your actions. It's going to help govern the way that you live your life while you're in the earth. So, in the process of walking out this life journey, know that God has you, that God is in control, and know that your enemy is defeated. And when your enemy comes against you with his ifs, and he keeps trying to get you to do this and to get you to do that, come back with the truth of the reality of the Word. Let the Word soak in you. You know, if you're too tired to read, sometimes just put it on. Just put the audio Bible on. Let the Word just sink in. You know, get that word in your heart and let the Spirit of God quicken it to your remembrance so that whatever it is that comes up against you, that you respond from the Word and that you respond not out of the flesh, not out of the thought process of people around you, but you respond from the Word and the truth of the living God. And in that, you will walk out the victory over a defeated foe. You will walk out the victory in this life, because abundant life is available this day in Christ Jesus. He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And that, my friends, is what we know is available to us as children of the living God in the earth at such a time as this. And in that regard, we go forward. And with that, hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us a mail. Say hi. Faithmix@gmail.com. You can reach us through Facebook. We got a YouTube page. All that good fun stuff. We just play around with it. We don't take it too seriously. So we just put it out there. And God bless you. We love you. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye.